Let's go hunt, Bosa. Now we get to the offense. Because they're not exonerated. Y'all got money. Y'all got money. All right?
A lot of money.
Everybody's been pocket watching.
A lot of money.
Everybody's been pocket watching. You know, the Trents, the Ayuks, the Debos, the Kittles, Purdy. We're talking about his money all the time. Well, what about J.P. Mason, the guy you gave money to in the offseason, Chris McCaffrey? He's got, you know, bilateral Achilles tendonitis. So, you know, who knows if he's ever even going to play a snap. This offense, every possession. Now, it's going to be hard to score on every possession. I get that. But not only do you got to move the football, control the football, you got to score touchdowns here. One thing they've done to Seattle in this five-game winning streak is they've come out early and hit them in the mouth. Great opening series drives. Setting the tone in the first quarter. 7-0, 7-3, 14-3. We think about the hat and t-shirt game on Thursday Night Football. Went right down the football field. Screen pass to George Kittle. By the way, we got to get Shasky's plays, five plays. Shasky has to see today. Because I need to hear about the plays. I want to see what you got cooked up this week.
I mean, Shanahan should ask me for some of the schematic stuff because he's gotten away from all of his bread and butter stuff. So, it's driving me nuts, quite frankly.
Well, so, you know what? And you heard RJ there. Can the receivers get separation against the Witherspoons of the world?
Did you see there was a graph that came out yesterday that was explaining? It was a graph, and the way it had it set up was like, do you get separation against man and zone?
Right.
Do you get separation against zone, good, bad? Like, where are you good? Where are you bad? I'm probably not even describing it properly. I apologize for this. But basically, on the Niners, Brandon Ayuk is great, not good, great against man and zone this year, separation. Debo Samuel is really good getting open in zone and getting open in man. Not as bad as we thought. The guy who's struggling in both, shockingly, by the separation numbers, George Kittle is meh against zone and man in terms of separation. I thought that was surprising.
Mm.
Debo is actually better based on the chart than I think we all thought.
Right. Now, the one name you brought up is Brandon Ayuk.
Top of the charts in both zone and man in terms of getting separation against the other players.
Shout out Matt Steinmetz. He was getting on Guru's, like, telling him to admit that it's a mistake. Now imagine if they didn't re-sign Brandon Ayuk. That would have been a mistake. That would have been a mistake. So I think Brandon Ayuk today, he's got to look. He's just, whatever opportunity he's presented, make the most of them. You can only control what the quarterback does with the football. You got to run your route to the best of your ability, get open to the best of your ability, and make yourself open, make yourself presentable, make yourself a target. That's all you can do if you're Brandon Ayuk or Juwan Jennings or Debo Samuel. But you heard RJ in Fairfield, and I do believe as RJ is shook up there in Fairfield, and he does get a little worried. I wouldn't want to watch a game with him. He would drive me crazy. But he was at the game. And I do believe, I respect every caller that calls into the show. I want to make it clear that I do respect their analysis. I respect the way they view sports. RJ said, he brought up Debo and Juwan Jennings not getting separation. Now, Juwan Jennings can get away with that because he's such a big target.
Yeah, he's a catch radius guy. 6'3",
215, 220. So he doesn't need much separation. Debo Samuel. I don't know how this 3-week stretch for Debo. Boy. I don't think the Niners would try to trade him at the trade deadline. But these next three games for Debo, just to get back into the good graces of the fan base,
I mean,
seems massive.
His yak numbers, it's five games, but, well, technically four for him. Yak numbers are nowhere near what they've been in years past.
Yep.
I think we're just afraid to say it, and I'm just going to come out and say it, like, we need a bounce back performance from Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty obvious to me, you know. We could talk, I don't want them throwing the ball 40 times in a drop back. I don't want any of my quarterbacks dropping back and throwing it 40 times. You want balance, but Brock just needs to have a bounce back performance. I know we're afraid to critique him even a little, just in general. He's been a great player for a long time. But I think even he would admit, like, I really need a bounce back performance. It's not some hot take to say, yeah, we need our starting quarterback to have a bounce back, you know, efficient night. And that's what the Niners need desperately up in Seattle. And the one thing that has happened prior to the winning streak is that every quarterback has gone up into Seattle and has just wet the bed.
Yep.
They have, every one of them, prior to Brock.
Yep. Well, Jimmy had a great game.
He had moments.
No, Jimmy 2019, 18, yeah, 22, 285. Give Jimmy his props.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, like, Brock has gone up there a couple times and looked really, really good. I think that's an outlier. Like, Jimmy most of the Niner games. Quarterbacks have melted up there.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, but Jimmy's had a couple good games up there. You got to give Jimmy Garoppolo his props, 2019, and then the game where George Kittle went crazy for 9 for 181, and they lost. Remember, they had first and goal at the 10-yard line. I think that was 2021.
Was it 2021?
I think it was 2021.
Yeah.
And Jimmy actually had a good, that's when they gave up the punt return touchdown. The up back, he didn't even get touched.
Wait, are you saying special teams gave up something big?
Yeah. Remember that game? Remember that?
In my head, all I keep thinking about is all the Pete Carroll special teams things that he did against us for so many years. Remember the fake punt?
Oh, he played all the games.
God, I hate him.
He played all the games with them. But Jimmy had some good games up in Seattle. I want to give Jimmy his credit. I know we don't like to do that around here, but give Jimmy his love. I just think
historically, like big picture, whether it's Alex Smith, he had one game, but Alex, Kaepernick.
Cap never played well up there.
Yeah, there were a lot of guys that just struggled up there.
No, but Brock Purdy was definitely bad last week. I mean, by the Brock Purdy metrics.
That's all.
He was bad. He's got to bounce back, and he's got to bounce back against this head coach. Because Mike McDonald, let's be real, Christmas Day, he threw 4 picks. It could have been 7. I mean, they dropped a couple up there in Baltimore.
Can I defend that performance? Once you get down the way that they were down, you got to kind of throw it all over the yard. It wasn't a great night. He played horrific.
There was 4 picks and about 15 throws in that game.
There's no doubt.
It was awful.
But you know how those games go. Like, once you start chasing, it's – I'm not saying he was awful.
We were making
awful.
An excuse. I'm
saying he was awful. But in games like that, when you're chasing so bad, you're just – The difference between 2 and 6 picks, I mean, stop.
We got to be fair.
But they were down.
We weren't fair to Jimmy in that situation.
Well, they got
destroyed. We weren't fair to any other quarterback.
Was horrible.
He should have thrown through 7 picks in that game against McDonald. All right? So let's just be.
Well,
I don't want to hear any caveats or anything.
He deserved
like
to get yanked. I'm not defending poor play. I'm saying that in those games, when you're trying to throw yourself back into it, you're just against that team, you're doomed.
Huge game. National television, Brock Purdy, 888-957-9570. What is one thing the Niners have to do tonight to win this football game? What is the one thing they absolutely have to do other than score more points than the Seattle Seahawks? 888-957-9570. We're going to go behind enemy lines with Dick Fan at 8:30 up there at KJR 93.3. The Softy and Dick Show, of course. Dick Fan is a friend of the program. Softy, him and Shasky beefing. So Softy will probably join Willard the Dibs. I got to go on their show later on today. Rob Stats on Fire. Rob Guerrera, 920. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Niners, Seahawks, we're breaking it down here on the Morning Roast. And that's coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
And it's 4th down and goal. And the play clock is down to 3. And here we go. And Wilson throws, caught. And it is going to be Hollister. Then the ball winds up in the hands of a 49er, Jimmy Ward. But they're going to say Ward's going to run all the way into the end zone, but what's the call down to the goal line here?
This is like the Atlanta game. This is total insanity.
We'll go under review.
So this play is under review. Let's take a look. We'll go back to the inception of the play and what happens at the goal line.
Does he get over the goal line? If he does, none of the rest of that even matters.
Hollister gets taken down. Ooh.
Looks short to me. Say he was across the line.
After review, completed pass receiver was down short of the goal line. San Francisco will take over the down. First down.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Fonte and Shasky.
Crank that big X. Crank that big X.
They should have never had that ball on that.
December 29th, 2019, 26-21, Dre Greenlaw, who made monumental plays in both games against Seattle that season. That was the game for the number one seed. That was the game for the NFC West. That was the game you had to beat Russell Wilson, which the Niners had never done in that place. Never done it. They never beat Russell Wilson in Seattle until that day where Jimmy goes 18-22, 285 and a touchdown. Deebo Samuel. And remember, the Niners brought out the all-white throwbacks in that football game. Sunday Night Football. We did the show right after the game. We were freaking out in the studio.
Well, they threw a screen pass on 3rd down, I believe, and they got called for offensive lineman down. downfield.
Yeah,
it was, and it was a horrible goal.
Yeah, they had to punt it back to Russell Wilson. So the Niners almost blew it out when they were up 19-7 going into the fourth quarter. They hang off for dear life. Oh, my gosh, they hang off for dear life. They clinched the number one seed. And it's just one of the many epic moments over the last 15 years between the 49ers and Hawks. What's going to happen tonight, folks? Up in Seattle, up at Lumen Field, up with that fake crowd noise, up with the 12s. What the hell is going to go down today with Geno Smith and company but Brock Purdy? This is where Brock Purdy's come through for the Niners over and over and over again. Now, by the way, some injury news. Some injury news. Charvarius Ward's questionable for today.
Oh, no.
So, just...
Why are you hitting me with the guru?
Just be careful. Just monitor.
Do me a favor. If Goo comes in with a Cowboys jersey, just tell him to go home.
Well, he does that all the time. I mean, listen... I'm not going to lie, during football season.
Donut butt!
It's hard for me to look at Guru, seriously, because I know he's a Cowboy fan, and then I know Steiny's from Philadelphia. It's hard for me to look at those two guys sometimes during football season. Now, it's kumbaya when it comes to basketball, it's all love when it comes to baseball. But when it comes to football, it just kind of, ugh. It's just like, I go, yuck. He wears that Cowboy star jersey, and his Steiny's from Philadelphia. You know how I feel about Philadelphia, by the way. How they feeling this morning?
Well, for those that don't know, explain.
Oh, everybody knows the Nets kicked their ass in four games. Everybody knows the Philadelphia Phillies, who got out to a great, 30-5 to start the season?
I thought the best rotation and the best lineup in baseball.
So look at this. In the last 24 months, Philadelphia blows a World Series lead after leading 2-1 and had they blew a World Series lead, 2-1 lead. The Eagles blow a second half lead to the Super Bowl. Sixers blow game 6-7 to the Celtics. Phillies blow game 6-7 at home in the NLCS to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Eagles start 10-1 last season, and then it crashed and burned, and they lose in a wild card game. Sixers lose to the Knicks in the first round, losing 6 at home. And then now the Phillies lose to the New York Mets. Hey, things are good out here in the Bay Area. We got Niners, Seahawks, and we got
things are good. We lost the Super Bowl. We fired our GM in baseball.
If you love Philadelphia,
Stick with me here.
We lost all-time legend Clay.
Don't be caping up for Philadelphia.
I'm just saying, it's not great here.
We lost Clay Thompson. I thought some of y'all was happy about losing Clay Thompson.
The vibes were good yesterday.
The only guy to lead the league and made 3-pointers and shoot 41% had a bad year. Go figure.
The vibes were good yesterday, though, right, Joe?
The vibes were good.
Anyway,
there was a lot of defense being played.
There was some defense being played. There was some really good. They gave up 68 points in the first half. By the way, Mac Celebrini, as we saw Dr. Celebrini on the screen yesterday on ESPN, the Sharkies are on the ice today.
Who are my Sharks opening up against?
The St. Louis Blues.
Ah.
I'm sorry, who's Sharks?
Mine. Is Brett Hull still playing for the St. Louis Blues?
Oh, that's a good pull. Chris Pronger?
He's been on like 50 teams.
Yeah, but Chris Pronger was made. He was
playing for the Blues. Lamar Tarasenko.
That's about all I know.
The Blues are red hot, by the way. 3-2 win already, so they're already 1-0.
Yeah, they're 1-0.
This might be a must-win game one for Macklin Celebrini. I don't want to put any pressure on the kid, but he's the next LeBron James of hockey, they're calling him.
Hey, SAP Center, tickets as low as $32 at the SAP Center. You get some nosebleeds for $40. Let's go, Sharkies. Let's go, Sharky. Shark chomp. All right, back to the Niners. Brock Purdy, he's got to have a big game. Chris of San Antonio, what do you think? What's the key? Oh, Chris of San Antonio just dropped off. Two back-to-back calls to San Antonio. What the hell are we? The flagship of the San Antonio Spurs or something? Miguel in San Antonio. I love San Antonio, hey, Texas. Miguel. What's up, Miguel?
Yo, Bonte, Shasky, what's up, guys? Out here repping in San Antonio, man.
I love that. Hey, Barkley's lying, huh? The women, they don't look bad in San Antonio.
Man, he's talking about tortas and all this, man. There's some fine women out here.
There are. I got to get down to San Antonio. for the tortas and the
other river walk.
For the river walk, yeah. That's what I got to get down there for. Yeah, not the other stuff.
just wanted to call in on this game. It just feels like it's such a big, important game. It can just, you know, it's on national TV. It can just set the tone, like, in a really good way moving forward. It's going to be a lot of eyes, a lot of national media, just kind of, you know, all the Brock negative people are just coming out. But Brock's going to need a little bit of help. I've been watching some of this last game where Mason and Garendo, they're really not allowing their blocks to develop. There's the holes there if they're a little patient, but they're bouncing out. And then that's not really helping with McCaffrey out. He would allow it to develop and just get those critical yards for the first downs or, you know, break a big one. Also with his, with McCaffrey's catching ability, we got to trust that, you know, Mason's getting better at those catches. So he can, go out, you know, expand the field, catch a pass out behind, the line of scrimmage and then allow some blocks to develop. Just get people at those defenders out of the middle, because, you know, Mike McDonald, what he did with Baltimore, he just stacked that middle and just took away all those slants. You know, Purdy, he's good at those slants and then allowing guys to get out, get open. So he's going to need, if they're stacking that box and we're not able to even a toss sweep with Debo to just expand that middle out, then he's relying on separation. And we've been struggling a little bit with separation. So, if we can address some of that stuff, I think we're going to do all right.
Yep. Good call, Miguel. Good call. By the way, New York Jets, Jeff Ulbrich says that Todd Downing will be the play caller for the New York Jets moving forward, not Nathaniel Hackett. Todd Downing? Raider fans know all about Todd
That's
Downing.
That's a name I've not heard in a long time.
That was the end of Carr.
Yeah, Todd Downing went like 7 weeks without getting his offensive score a touchdown. Now, I'm being a little hyperbolic, but then all of a sudden in Philadelphia, remember the Christmas Eve game, they score a touchdown. He's skipping down the sideline like he's got, I'm Vince Lombardi. Todd Downing calling plays for you? Oh, my gosh.
That Christmas Eve game was one of the worst games I've ever seen in my life, by the way. It was like Monday Night Football. It was like Gruden. It was horrible. It was awful.
They had they started six possessions because I went solo the next day on 95.7 the game. Tommy Cole was
Greg
producing
was that?
For me.
He was that discombobulated?
He was in Philadelphia.
Todd's really got to get it together. No, he's going to have to get this offense going.
Dude, I was solo that day, and I ripped into the Raiders, and the Raider Nation was causing this a fun show.
The Eagles won the Super Bowl that year, which is crazy after that game because Nick Foles looked horrible.
He looked horrible.
There you go.
Wow, what a blast in the past.
Just like the Niners are looking horrible right now, but they could still win a Super Bowl.
They don't look horrible. They've just got to hold on the leads. They're a couple plays away from being 4th-and-1, Spadoni. Got to look at the optimism, man. You got to be optimistic.
Yeah, but they're 2-3.
These fans feeling good.
If some butts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
They're 2-3. Act like the damn season's over already. It's middle of October. 2-3.
You lose tonight. I mean, Nick Bosa's calling it a must-win. They're acting like it might be over.
It is a must-win. But you know what? Play our best game. We're going to win. We're going to win. All right? Pound for pound, blow for blow, better than Seattle. Now I got to put it, they're better than Arizona. They're better than the LA Rams. Didn't show it.
I'd like to play our best game and get some breaks. I'd like to have the ball bounce in our direction a few times. That's all.
Chris is San Antonio. Let's go back down to the Alamo. Chris, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Oh, first time caller. How you guys doing? Bonte Sharkey, how you guys doing? I want to shout out my defense. My defense needs to step up. My dogs need to come to eat. Bosa, I need a D-line to get in there. I mean, we need to win this one. This is a must win.
Woof, woof, woof.
Are you calling us from the barn? Where are you calling us from?
Woof, woof.
Parts unknown because he's gone.
Parts unknown. Is that Warrior or Renegade?
How about this news?
Was it Renegade that used to call in here? Oh, yeah. I'm Renegade calling from Parts Unknown.
He was Raider Debater. No, not Raider Debater. He was Renegade. Who else was he?
The Warrior. I think those are the two. From the Laguna Beach sometimes.
Yeah, the Laguna Beach sometimes.
Phoenix.
Yeah, the Renegade.
The Warrior.
I love the Warrior.
The Warrior threatened to hurt me a few times. But I think we're cool now.
Well, the Warrior and I have always been cool. So, you know what I'm saying? I don't think nobody wants to hurt me out there in these streets.
Oh, he's ripped. I don't want anything to. Oh, I don't want any trouble.
Oh, no. No trouble. Warrior's my guy. By the way, I just saw this on my timeline from the Ross Tucker podcast. Apparently, the Shanahans, I'm telling you, man, this is a big game for Brock Purdy. I wasn't lying. You cannot have too many sneakers under the Shanahans. So let me tell you, I just saw this report, and it's still, RG3 hasn't played for Washington in over 13 years, all right? It's been a decade. But Ross Tucker Podcast, former Washington head coach Mike Shanahan begged Dan Snyder to trade RG3 after being Rookie of the Year. Apparently, Shanahan told Snyder, I'm telling you, he's not as good as you think. Trade him before people find out.
Wow. I mean, it just never ends.
It never ends
with
the Shanahan. What is their beef with RG3? Now you got to get RG3 to freaking respond to that. It is, I mean, come on, Mike. Let's just focus on Seattle. So that's why. Just know the quarterback position.
Mike is not a part of the Niners.
Yeah, well.
Officially.
Officially. He's always in a suite right behind me. Right behind me. 227.
I would love for them to just give him a headset and let him just roam the field.
Well, I look at him. I always turn to him after offensive possessions.
Okay, what do you mean?
So he's in the suite. I'm at 227.
Okay.
He's in the suite to my right. And he's always by himself in the corner.
There's no one else.
Well, there's a lot. It's packed, but nobody sits by him.
Okay.
Like, even his wife. There's, like, two empty chairs, and then it's her. And, like, he's just in the corner. He's like this.
Is he in, like, Niner gear?
No, he's not even in Niner gear. He's just locked in.
Oh, he's in, like, Tommy Bahama. In.
He's like, yeah, I think he is in Tommy Bahama.
Because I know what he looks like. He's the OGs. Monster man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he's just sitting there. And then sometimes during timeouts, he walks to the back.
Uh-huh.
He walks back to his seat. And I'm always thinking, I'm like, damn, I wonder if there's a landline in there.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely a bat phone.
I wonder if he's texting
him. He's calling Commissioner Gordon right on down to the field. Am I wrong?
Mm-hmm.
100%.
So, you know, he's tapped it.
Bonte, I've told you the story, right? About my dad texting me during games. I'm coaching. This is how parents are. Like, when you follow, my dad coached for his whole life.
Yeah.
And then I started coaching. And all of a sudden, this is like one of my first or second years coaching baseball, like 15 years ago. My phone's buzzing. This is like the early stages of text messages. And I'm looking, and it's like, this is a squeeze situation. You got a bunt. I'm like, what? I look out into center field, and there's my dad in a lawn chair out in center field telling me what we should be doing on the field.
I can't find the time.
And then like an inning goes by, the phone rings, I pick it up, I go, hello? And said, I told you should have bunted in that situation. Next time that presents itself, you gotta send the runner. This is what dads do when you follow them into the profession. They hover over you, and you know what? I'd be listening to my dad too. Because I'd be lying if I didn't say I didn't think about it too.
Oh my gosh.
What?
Damn, but the shithead.
His dad is one of the greatest coaches ever.
I know. He should be in the Hall of Fame. He should be in the Hall of Fame. But that's why, when it comes to quarterbacks and running backs, and any player for that matter, they will pivot. I'll never forget Shannon Sharpe on First Take saying last year, patience and the Shanahans do not go together.
So what?
So, no, I don't care. But that's why when I say that to say, just don't let Brock Purdy have a few stinkers. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. And I think he's going to bounce back tonight and have a great game. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, he has to.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
I don't think that they're good enough around him right now on both sides of the ball to overcome another sloppy game. They just can't. Like we always say, you can't lose the turnover battle. No, this team cannot lose the turnover battle. They're not as explosive as they used to be, and they clearly don't get situational stops like they've had in years past. So, yeah, losing the turnover battle now is significantly better. Like back in the day when the Warriors were such a great team, we could turn it over 20 times a game. You know why? Because we're just going to outscore you. We're going to out-execute you. We're going to get enough stops in the final 5 minutes, and we're going to overcome whatever our flaws are. This team needs to play a much more buttoned-up brand of football. The Niners currently cannot lose turnover battles and think that they're going to be winning by two touchdowns. That's just not the case. The margin of error is too thin.
No, I'm with you on that one. Spot on with that one. They don't have that margin of error. They don't have the same explosion. I don't know what's going on with Deebo and the Yak, but they need the Yak boys to be Yak boys tonight. 888-957-9570 is the number. 888-957-9570 is the number. I asked this question. Is this a win and we feel better game? Is this a win and we feel better about the 49ers long-term game? What does a win do for the Niner fan tonight? What does a win do for you? 888-957-9570 is the number. 888-957-9570 is the number. How about David in the 615 on the Comcast Business Text Line? I want to blow up by the Niners. I'm tired of every game being a nail-biter. Niners make everything so hard. Hot day for you guys. How long does it take before we have the discussion of Nick Bosa being a good player, but not a great player? Not a top five, but a top 30 regular season. Stats are empty for me, but I feel like if Nick Bosa would have lived up to his potential in the playoffs, Niners would have won a Super Bowl ring already. All right, that's not fair, because 2019 he had a dominant postseason. He had a dominant postseason.
We keep coming back to the stars. God, it would be nice to have a Leonard Floyd game. Boy, yeah. It'd be nice to have like a, you know, the secondary pick a ball off or a cornerback like Yadam or somebody make a big play and just, you know, just galvanize this team. I'm not saying like I get you pay the premium players for a reason, but my goodness, can somebody else step up? Can someone else have a monster game?
No, we absolutely, but we always start with the top.
It's true.
We start with the top. And they set the tone. So Bosa has to set a tone. Deebo has to set a tone. Kittle and Ayuk have to set a tone. Brock Purdy has to be sharp. He has to be sharper than last week. Got to get rid of the football. You can't throw in the tight windows. Not against this team that's looking for turnovers up there in the 12s. And that's the one thing, too. Another element of this game, the one thing the Niners have done well recently in Seattle, is you take the crowd out of the football game.
True.
You cannot let this team get a lead and get that fan base involved because they're a front-running fan base. Let's be real. Seattle, I was up there. That's a front-running fan base, the Seattle Seahawks. They get down and behind, and they get quiet. They become uneasy. So that's who they are. So get a lead. Get a lead. I see Danny Green is retiring from the NBA. We don't need to break a new sounder for him. Shout out to Danny Green. Won a championship with three different teams. He also should be called for a flagrant foul in the 2019 finals, but I want to bring that up. I don't want to bring that up.
The worst part about these games in Seattle on primetime is the camera will do the front row pan of all the idiots wearing crazy, stupid costumes just to be seen. Green Man and all the different stuff.
You don't like the costumes?
What?
You don't like the costumes?
It just was never Seattle's thing.
Oh, yeah.
It was never their thing. Like, the Raiders always hung their hat on the costumes. I'm fine with them wearing the costumes, you know? The Dog Pound would wear the dog masks. Like, I'm cool with that. Like, the 12s thing just came out of left field. The whole thing was manicured, and it was not organic. I never saw anybody wearing any of that stuff during the Holmgren era. Did you?
Yeah. No, I didn't. They're a front-running fan base. That's what they are. That's why if you get out of the lead and take that crowd out of the game, you're going to be fine. That crowd is so soft. The Seahawk fan is soft. The Seahawk fan are front runners. When they get behind, they get doom and gloom. Freaking take them out of the game. You could take them out of the game early, but if you get them into the game, now all of a sudden they're pumping the freight crowd noise. They're raising the decibel level. All of a sudden, beast mode's on the sideline. Richard Sherman, what is he going to do today? He's going to wear a split cap on the Amazon set? What is Sherman doing?
I don't know.
Like, is he a Niner fan this week or is he a Seahawk fan?
I can't
tell with Richard Sherman. Let's go to Larry in the city. Larry, what's happening?
What's up, fellas?
What's up, Larry?
Man, hey, everybody's just kind of relaxed, man. You know, dude, 10-7 is what we're going to – I said it before. I said at the beginning of the season, we're going to be 10-7. The team struggle is because the team fell apart during the offseason, man. It's like Mike Holmes, Herm Edwards said, the disease of me got him. You know, everybody was all of a sudden, everybody was a superstar. I forgot how to play like a superstar. You know what I mean? So, but I got to tell you guys something, man. All right, I tried to call in 2 weeks ago and say, hey, do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to get Saleh fired? I wake up yesterday, and the boy was fired.
That's crazy.
What I would do. I would say Saleh, you come back, but you got to guarantee us 3 straight years. None of this BS. I had one good season at the DC, and now I'm a head coach of the Commanders or something stupid like that. Well, our biggest problem on defense is not the players. It's we change a coach every year. I mean, how do you get continuity? How do you got to get a feel for this stuff. You can't just, I'm a linebackers coach today and tomorrow I'm a DC, you know?
I hear you. I hear you, Larry. That's a conversation for another day. If Saleh gets okay, you can't tell a head coach not to take that job. They had D'Amico for 2 years. Yeah, Saleh, how many years was Saleh here? 3 years? Was it 3 or
17,
4?
18, 19, 20, 4 years.
Yeah, 4 years.
He left after 2020.
Yeah, and then D'Amico was here. Was he D coordinator for 2?
21, 22,
22,
23.
Yeah, so.
Or no, I guess last year. He was only here 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years. Last but he was in the system. He came with Saleh. He was our linebacker coach for a long time. So he was within the system. So, you know, That's what happens in this business, man.
I believe he played for Kubiak in Houston, D'Amico.
He did, D'Amico,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, there's all this, you
Shanahan
know.
And,
yeah, the, the Kubiaks
and the Shanahans.
Oh, boy, we lineage. Pumping the brakes on the Kubiak down in New Orleans.
Oh. Well, you know what? To be fair, players got to make plays.
I know.
Players got to make plays.
Spencer Rattler going to start.
Good luck against Tampa Bay.
Better than Jake Haener. I mean, Jake Haener.
Hey, shout out to Haener, KTVU.
Julie Haener.
Shout out to her, KTVU. But no, players got to make plays. Carr threw a dime, goes right through the guy's hands. Remember that? Fourth down, they blitz eight. Kansas City, he throws a dime. Player doesn't make a catch. Carr, early in the game, had a deep shot, wide open, underthrows it. He had Olave on a corner route, underthrows it. That's why we got to hold players accountable. Players got to make plays and execute, damn it.
So you were talking about, like, what happens if they win? What happens if they lose tonight?
I'm not thinking about that. I'm not putting that energy out there in the streets. We'll deal with that tomorrow. I already know what's going to happen if they lose, but I'm not speaking that into existence. I'm not even thinking about that. I'm thinking about going to get a dub.
I would love for them to win a game where they maybe weren't in complete control. Like the pendulum kind of swung back and forth. I think winning an adversity game would be really big for these guys right now. Winning a tight game would be really good. Like I do think that, like, don't get me wrong, I'm not scoffing at any kind of win. I will take whatever we can get, but there is something psychologically, like a swing back and forth game for them to win. I would love that. I really would. I would love that. They need a galvanizing win. They need to bring the troops together.
707. Is Bonte calling out if they lose? I may have to. This one. I'm not even putting that out there because I can feel the energy. I can feel it. There's not 100% confidence in this studio right now. I was listening to Spadoni, and I'm not going to lie, he was killing my vibe this morning because he was keeping it real. He was keeping it real, but I said, I'm not thinking about a loss. I don't think like that. When I turn on that TV at 5:15 kickoff, I'm thinking, how are they going to win the damn game? What is Shanahan going to cook up against McDonald? He owes McDonald something for what happened on Christmas Day. Brock Purdy owes McDonald something for what happened on Christmas Day. Then we're going to get Nick Fan here at 8:30 from KJR up in Seattle, and he's going to come in here talking that talk. And it's going to tick me off even more. And it's Seattle, folks. These are the Seahawks. We can't stand Seattle. So I know what a loss would do for this. We don't even have to discuss it. I know what would happen with a loss.
Yeah, there was a TV show, a cartoon I used to watch after school with my brother. Tailspin. Would be a huge tailspin.
See the nerve. Now you get nervous. We get nervous.
What?
We get nervous, man.
In my head, I'm thinking like you know, it's just I already know, like, it's if they lose this game, Niner fans are gonna lose their minds. Lose their minds. Because you lose two games. I mean, basically, it's a two-game swing to Seattle in terms of the division. Right. You go 0-4 in the NFC, 0-3 in the NFC West. It is a big one. You cannot lose to Geno Smith and Seattle coming off the game they just had against the New York Giants. And that's the part that scares me. Had the Giants lost and didn't dominate them the way that they did, I'd feel a lot better. This has, like, hey, get right game written all over it.
You know, your boy Rocco just texted us, and this is something that I've been harping on because there's been so much heat on Shanahan. The kiddie table's been fighting over Capri Suns and orange juice, and oh man, Shanahan, this
stop
is Shanahan, that
the
Shanahan.
Table.
No, the kiddie table's a joke.
The kiddie
two and three,
dinosaur shaped chicken tenders.
We want to move on from the head coach after a 2-3 start after going in 4 NFC championships the last 5 years and 2 Super Bowls. But Rocco, your boy Rocco, private chat. Totally agree. After all the talking and all-season stuff, I'm paraphrasing, it's time for the players to take the reins of the season and back up the talk. So I'm looking at you, Nick Bosa. I'm looking at you, Brandon Ayuk. I'm looking at you, Deebo Samuel. I'm looking at you, Big Trent Williams. All right? They got people in the studio calling him a diva. All right? Trent, I know you're not no diva. You're from East Texas, dog. So I'm looking at you. I'm looking at Juszczyk. I'm looking at Mason. I'm looking at all these guys saying, what are you going to do? The coach can't play for you anymore. He calls the plays. You got to execute. Kyle Shanahan didn't fumble last week. Kyle Shanahan didn't drop a football in SoFi Stadium to put the team in field goal position. Kyle Shanahan didn't miss a tackle and blow containment on the punt team.
If this comes down to a special teams kick or play, our heads were going to explode.
Nick Sorensen, I guess, pushed back on Bosa. I guess he pushed back on it. I got to listen to Nick Sorensen. He's pushing back on players? All right, Nick Sorensen.
I don't think it was something we didn't adjust. I mean, we started changing some of the calls, and we did mix up whether it was too high or brought pressure. So I thought we talked about it on the sideline, what happened on that one play, and I don't think it was really any breakdown or miscommunication on not adjusting late, because we were changing things up and, you know, getting different looks with our shell and with bringing different types of pressures as well.
So that's Shanahan and Sorensen this week, the defense coordinator of the 49ers. Pushing back on what Nick Bosa said early in the week, saying, yeah, we need to adjust better, blah, 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 blah.
Are you insinuating we have a Bosa problem?
No, Bosa just needs to play better. That's all I'm saying. The clip that you guys
I'm saying a Bosa accountability problem.
He needs to be accountable. Okay, I've been saying this for 2 years now.
Yes.
You just brought up, you know, and this is, it made me think. I was like, damn, it's been a while. When did he last have an impactful game? And they win.
So they've played a month of football here. They played a month of football last January, a month of football in December, and we go back to Thanksgiving night. That's almost 3 months of football, games, where he has yet to have a signature game.
Mm. And at the summit, at Fremont Bank. Fremont Bank. And Kyle Madsen's coming in. He offered everybody coffee. Kyle, I don't need coffee, man. I appreciate it. I'm good. I'm already ready to roll. I need coffee today.
Breakfast burrito.
I'm gonna get breakfast a little later. I'm fired up. I've eaten nothing so far, and I'm ready to roll. I wish this game was kicking off in an hour. I swear to God, I'm so fired up for this game tonight. Nick Bosa, when it clipped the other day, we're talking about him. When you're the highest paid defensive player in football, again, I think he's the most important player. We talked about this at Fremont Bank at the summit. We all went around the round table. Who's the most important player for this football team? Because I knew, like, the defensive line is going to struggle. Like, we kind of highlighted defensive line. Like, boy, I'm a little worried about the defensive line depth. Boy, I don't know. Like, by the way, there's another clip of Chase Young lollygagging on the football field the other day. You know, remember we were talking about effort in the NFC Championship game? And he's lollygagging at Arrowhead Stadium?
But he did have that first quarter in the preseason against the Niners.
Can't be any worse than George Pickens.
Mm.
Well, Pickens has been a diva for quite a while.
So, you know, but this is random. Do you want to talk about random, Shasky? Bonte, did you knock Zaza for his flagrant foul against Kawhi Leonard asking for a friend from the 850? No, I didn't. He closed out. It's a tough basketball play, you know? Zaza didn't deserve death threats. He's just playing hard basketball, man. I mean, come on. No, I didn't knock Zaza.
Our player, Will Clark. It's a great slide on Jose Akendo.
You know what I'm saying?
Totally in line. No, I have no problem with it.
You know what I'm saying?
Matt Holiday. Put him in jail.
You know?
You guys know what I'm talking about, right?
I know exactly what you're talking about. So, Nick Bosa, is it a must-win game?
It's a lot of pressure. It's not a must-win because I'm stealing Kyle's team meeting thing because technically your season's over if it's a must-win. But definitely feels like it's over-treated that way.
Now, we talked about tackling. They missed 15 tackles last Sunday. What was the total number over the last 2 weeks?
29
missed tackles
it's
over the last 2 weeks.
Over any 2 year period in years.
Wow, 2 week period in years for Shanahan.
For Shanahan, please.
Well, Sorensen doesn't think they have a tackling issue.
We miss tackles sometimes because we're aggressive. Like, we do coach our guys to take their shots. If you show, like, make me a cut up of those tackles, and I'll tell you if it's a good or bad one, to be honest. I mean, that's just, we play aggressive, we play violent. We have, you know, sometimes Fred shows up with quite a few missed tackles, but if a guy stops his feet and they're having to take time and that guy loses a yard, but you kind of fall off and now we've got two other guys coming, then that's not a bad missed tackle. Sometimes they're a little bit different. I'd have to quantify it by looking at tape. Then I could probably talk you through if they're good or bad or not.
Oh, Nick, boy. It's pretty straightforward, bud. Arm tackles where you're flailing and falling to the side, it's pretty straightforward. There is a huge difference between Fred Warner missing a tackle, who we all know is a heat-seeking missile, and Malik Mustafa coming in and trying to, like, snatch the flag like he's playing, like, flag football against James Conner. Love Malik Mustafa, but, like, come on. And Devondre Campbell, I mean... I've seen safety cones make bigger tackles than him. Listen, their side-to-side quickness is extremely explosive compared to him.
I got
to
listen to this one more time from Nick Sorensen.
We miss tackles sometimes because we're aggressive. Like, we do coach our guys to take their shots. If you show, like, make me a cut-up of those tackles, and I'll tell you if it's a good or bad one, to be honest. I mean, that's just, we play aggressive, we play violent. We have, you know, sometimes Fred shows up with quite a few missed tackles, but if a guy stops his feet and they're having to take time and that guy loses a yard, but you kind of fall off, and now we've got two other guys coming, then... That's that's not a bad missed tackle. Sometimes they're a little bit different. I'd have to quantify it by looking at tape. Then I could probably talk you through if they're good or bad or not.
Let's call Baldy. Get Baldy to cut up the missed tackles.
You don't even need to do that. Nick, did you watch the fourth quarter? Did you watch the fourth quarter? That was the compilation highlight tape. Poor Nick.
My favorite part
of
that.
He's thinking over his head.
Well, he's also saying, he's like, yeah, I need to look at it. If you guys can send me that. I was like, you're not going to do anything if I send that to you. You're going to kick rocks.
I would tell Nick, and Nick, all you have to do is follow one of the many millions of Niner fans on Twitter who are reposting the 10,000 missed tackles from the Terminator over the weekend. How about, hey Nick, how about the play where Kyler Miller said deuces at the line of scrimmage and ran 55 yards? Like, did you need to see a cut up of that?
Dude, listen. I mean,
this guy's in over his head.
Well, listen, that
the
was.
Before I hear him, I go, you know what? Everyone's like, oh, Purdy's got pressure. Shanahan's got pressure. Nick Sorensen's job is on the line. I'm kidding?
No. Well, no. You thought I was kidding in week two.
No, we're here.
Remember week two? I said, boy, Nick Sorensen, when are we going to start talking about him? Second goes, already? Remember that, Spinotti? I was like, already? I said, oh, come on, man. You know what we did when the Niners went 5-0, and we were comparing the units. Who's better, defense or offense? All of a sudden, they lose three games in a row. They score 17-17-17, and all the heat went to Steve Wilkes. Every last bit of it. It was, we excused everything offensively. So you thought Nick Sorensen?
I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
I mean, he is built for this. He hung tough last year, Nick. And you know what? Steve Wilkes in that Super Bowl coached his ass off.
Bonte.
And Shanahan had to help Nick Sorensen. Hold on.
One of two or three ways this goes. They pray to God they get Robert Saleh back regular season, which feels so unlikely.
Wow, but hold on real quick. My iWatch just said our decibel levels are loud. I got an alert. Exposure to...
Yeah, you know what I do?
Not enough.
Mute that for the day and move on. Because that happens all the time.
We're too loud.
I'm surprised that's the first time it's gone off.
No, it goes off a lot during this show. Exposure to sounds below 80 decibel levels should not affect your hearing. Loud, repeated long-term exposure to sounds above 80 decibels can lead to permanent damage. Consider using hearing protection or moving to a quieter area.
They lose tonight, okay? And the defense gets gashed.
This is great.
There's only going a couple directions. One of them. They pray to God Robert Saleh wants to come back, and they move his family out here, and they figure out the whole thing. Like, Jed, just buy the man a mansion in Morgan Hill somewhere. Number two, they just turn to Bosa and Warner, and they say, hey, why don't you guys just play DC? Because, I mean, I what else are you going to do?
Bonte,
what are their options? Or three, I guess you just let Staley take over.
Oh, gosh. The DBs don't have an interception
so
far
this year. Again.
The DBs don't have an interception, and Charvarius Ward is questionable.
Yeah, I want to see Renardo Green tonight. Tonight is a Renardo Green game.
Whoa, you want to do a rookie against these three wide receivers?
Do we have to trust the youngsters? Yeah. No, I'm tired of hearing this. Oh, the rookies. The vets are letting them down. No, Devondre Campbell is letting them down. Isaac Adam, a couple weeks before, he was letting them down. Play the rookies. Yeah, okay, Malik Mustafa missed some tackles, and I was crushing him. Hufanga made one of the worst angles on the Kyler Murray play that I've ever seen. The veterans have let them down as much as young players. I don't want to hear that the rookies can't play. You got to roll the dice sometimes.
No, I'm with you.
You got to just roll the dice and live with the growth so that if you play them now, they're ready to go by week 9-10. Like, just you got to take a little. One step back to take two steps forward.
He's probably going to play tonight.
Play the young guys. Put Bethune in. Put Jalen Graham in. I'm tired of watching old, slow, upright linebackers.
Renardo Green's probably going to play because Isaac Adams going to be on a short leash. We don't know if Charvarius Ward's going to go. He's questionable with the knee bruise.
If Ward doesn't go, I'm telling you, I am playing.
Well, he's going to play.
No,
he's got
I don't
no
think
choice.
He's going to. I'm playing Renardo Green, and I'm going to say, Diomino Lenore, you're shadowing whoever there. If it's DK, pick the guy you want to shadow. Stay with him. Renardo, get on the opposite side, and you add him in the slot. Let's go. That's what I'm doing.
I just can't believe the D coordinator says, send me some clips and I'll quantify them as good or bad missed tackles.
I mean,
it's not a good sound. If I was at that point, I was like, whoa, what are we doing? When did he hit the podium? Was it Tuesday or Wednesday? Was it yesterday that he hit the podium? I don't remember. Because he already watched a game film, so he knows if it was a bad or good missed tackle.
That was from Tuesday.
Yeah, so he already had watched the Arizona film. He already watched it. Wow, that's not good.
Could you imagine? Not good. You didn't fold the laundry. Well, if you show me a cut-up of me folding laundry, I'd have a better idea of whether I folded the laundry
or not. Speaking of laundry, I need to do the laundry. Maybe I'll do the laundry before the
laundry
end of the day.
Is never ending.
I know.
There's a bottomless hole of laundry.
Oh, I know.
Michelle says the other day, hey, the laundry's done. I go, for like a minute. and then it's going to restart. The laundry's never done. It's like painting the Golden Gate Bridge. You get to the other end and you go back to the beginning.
Yeah, how much paint do they waste on the Golden Gate Bridge? Love it. I need a... Before you get to the injury report.
Of all the things this city's wasting money on, you're worried about the paint on the Golden Gate Bridge?
Yeah, absolutely. They're always painting the damn bridge.
And they should.
No, they shouldn't. They let the paint fade a little bit.
It's one of the few monuments that we actually have a lot of civic pride for.
Paint it once a year.
No, they
paint it once a year.
They basically do paint it once a year.
No, they paint it all year round. It's technically painted all year round,
man. Well, doesn't the paint like protect the bridge itself, too? Because then like rust builds in. There's a lot of salt air. Come on, guys. Science.
Come on, man. There's so much paint we're wasting on. We're worried about all these problems.
You can sit here and do a sugarcoat job.
And you know that's premium paint, so they're paying top dollar for that. The most wanted tickets in the Bay Area are here. It's Hip Hop Made the Bay, starring Too Short, Ja Rule, Bone Thugs, and DJ Quick. Friday, November 1st at the SAP Center. Tickets to sell at fast. Get yours now at Ticketmaster.com. Love it.
Where is Ja?
49ers injury report. What you got?
All right, so yeah, the ones we already know are out. Jake Moody, Talanoa Hufanga, Demetrius Flanagan Fowles, Jordan Elliott, they are all out. Charvarius Ward, he is questionable. Chris Conley, he is questionable. Jair Brown, George Kittle, Fred Warner, Jacob Cowing, they were all full participants in practice yesterday, so it looks like they are going to be good to go. You want the Seahawks?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow, there's a lot of names on
the
Seahawks.
Give me the Seahawks. Give me the Seahawks.
Byron Murphy, Uchenna Nwosu, and Rip Woolen, they are all out.
Oh, Tariq Woolen.
Tariq Woolen's out. Wow, okay.
Tariq Woolen, yeah, cornerback. He is out. He's got an ankle injury. Boy Mafe, linebacker, he is questionable with a knee injury. Julian Love, safety, he is questionable with a hamstring injury.
Wow.
Derek Hall, linebacker, questionable with a foot injury, though he was a full participant in practice yesterday. Let's see. Then everyone else looks like is good to go. Rayshon Jenkins, Kane's legend, he's good to go. Noah Fant, tight end, good to go. DK, he'll be playing. Brady Russell, he'll be playing. Laviska Shenault, he'll be playing. Cameron Young, he'll be playing. Leonard Williams, he'll be playing. Jonathan Hankins with the hand injury that he's been a full participant all week long. That has been your injury report.
Laviska Shenault, everyone thought he was the cheat code in fantasy like 3 years ago.
Colorado, and then he got drafted by Jacksonville.
He had that one game that one time.
Jacksonville. Rayshon Jenkins is a guy the 49ers brought in to go visit at free safety. He has a pick, I think, already. So
of course he does.
You know, and no, 707, I am not betting on this football game. No. I do not bet on for. No. I'm
but
staying away from that.
Ain't
nothing you could do about that. All right, let's get to the injury report.
For the injury report.
It really hurt.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right, as we just mentioned, Charvarius Ward dealing with the knee bruise he sustained in a loss on Sunday. He's been banged up. We know about the Rams game. He probably shouldn't have played the Rams game. He really shouldn't. He toughed it out just like Fred Warner did last week, and he just was not good at SoFi Stadium. He wasn't. They went deep on him with Tutu Atwell. Well, last week they were going deep on him with Marco Wilson. He is questionable, and he's done very, very well when it comes to DK Metcalf. He has shut DK Metcalf down, but he may not be able to go. He is 50-50 to suit up tonight for the 49ers, so we'll monitor number 7, Charvarius Ward. Where will he be? Will he be on the field, or will he be in street clothes? That is our injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What is coming up in the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. We're going to crank it back up. We're going to crank it back up at 8 o'clock hour. We're cranking it back up. No doom and gloom, no negativity. It's how do the Niners win a game tonight? Is how do they beat the Seahawks, the Sea Chickens, those fake-ass fans up there in Seattle. It is go time, folks. Before we get the Dick Fan at 8:30, I'm going to take your calls, 888-957-9570. What are you watching for tonight? Who has to step up tonight to get a damn victory to move back to 500? We'll take your calls on the other side here on the Morning Roast.